Okay, welcome everyone. Okay. Shall we conclude? We got to take care of some unfinished business. We have been learning last week, episode 29 in Key to Redemption, that was called Eye on the Big Prize. Eyes on the Big Prize. And we were at the last part. This is the Dvar Malchus of Parshas Lech Lecha. So we were holding at, I think, chapter 11 or chapter 12. We'll go over a little bit over here so that we're in the subject, and hopefully we'll wrap it up Be'ezras Hashem in today's class with this amazing, amazing lesson. And tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll start the next episode, which is episode 30. Here we go. So we were talking, to refresh everyone's memory, the opening of the story of Jewish history, the story of Abraham, of Avraham, that he has to go to the land of Israel, with the beginning of the Jewish experience. Why is that the first? What's its first? Why is that so essential? That he go to a land. You know, he's a spiritual person. Why was God directing him to go into the land? And when he comes into the land, God keeps on promising him the land, that this land will be yours. This land will be yours. So many times, four times on last week's Torah portion, in Parshas Lech Lecha, we have the promise to God, I think at least four times, that this land will be your land. What's the relationship with the beginning of the, why is that so essential to the core values and the core experience of being a Jew? We also learned that the culmination of Parshas Lech Lecha is the circumcision. So it's the taking of the land and the circumcision that kind of like crystallizes the whole idea of the role and the importance that the Jewish people play in this world. How does that work? We were also learning, if you remember, at the beginning, he was discussing the idea of, you know, since God told Abraham, go to the land, that was thousands of years ago. That was just like a preparation on twofold. It was the very beginning of taking possession of the land. Number two, it was also a introduction, a small little introduction for the receiving of the Torah. As we discussed also at the beginning of this talk, that the commandment of to Avraham, go to the land of Israel, is considered the beginning of the giving of the Torah. It's the preparation. It was the first mitzvah. The first, here is where the 2,000 years of Torah is initiated. Here is where, in the words of the Arizal, this is where the Yichudim, the unifications that are related to the giving of the Torah begin. What's the relationship? What was the question? The question was, how does that apply to us today? We are today long after the beginning or after the middle. We are at the very end. So when we're learning Parshas Lech Lecha, how are we supposed to be inspired in terms of not just about something that happened, but something to live with right now, that we are supposed to be considering ourselves setting off on a journey to go begin the process of receiving the Torah, to begin the process of taking possession of the land when we finished already, we already taken hold of the land. I mean, now there's issues and people, you know, ridiculously challenging it, but that's not of any real true essential consequence. It's ours. It belongs to the Jewish people already. What more? Like, why are we now talking about the beginning? How does it speak to us today? So all of these answers were given, and the idea that was explained, that we have to really peel away the external and get to the essence. The essence of what it means to be a Jew is the fusion of the upper and the lower, the God and the world. That's the idea. The infinite, boundless, endlessness of God should come down and reside and be present in the physical. And as we discussed in last week's classes, literally in the physical, not just conversations that happen within physical human beings. That Abraham already accomplished in Haran. He already had already a society that was listening to him. He was already teaching. He was already inspiring. He had followings. He wrote books. So in terms of social discussions, God was already a known factor when Avram was in the land of Haran, Mesopotamia. That's before the Jewish experience. The Jewish experience is related to the changing of the way we experience physicality itself. Now, this, by the way, this is important to understand, this has not yet revealed itself in the world. In other words, the effects of 4,000 years of Jewish practice and of Torah and mitzvahs in the world has not yet really been felt. In other words, it's all there as seeds, like planting seeds. It hasn't manifested because the manifestation of it is going to be a radical change of the very, very, very fabric of, or the very experience. In other words, the experience of the divine is going to be a physical sensation once Mashiach is revealed. That can be one. I discussed this on Shabbos over here. On Shabbos, we don't have any recordings. The reason why the world is so terrified now, and there's such an uproar regarding Israel and all that stuff, the real story, what's the inside story is, because subconsciously people feel that the godless existence that they've been living for thousands of years is about to disappear. And our entire existence physically is going to be plugged into God. We're going to sense physically the reality, the truth that He is, and there's none but Him, and all of existence is nothing more than an emanation of Him. And those who are terrified of losing their egos, losing their abilities to choose and live lives that are empty, meaningless, and self-fulfilling, fulfilling their most immediate external gratifications without any depth, without any inner core, are terrified. And they know the Jewish people are at fault. They don't know the process. They don't know it up here. But they, and they know it has something to do with the Jewish people in the land of Israel, as shall, as we, as this talk is illustrating, is bringing out. Now, this idea that we permeate earth, that, that Abraham couldn't do that before God told him, Lech Lecha. God had to tell him, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means go away. Go away meant to go out of your boundaries. That was the commandment. Get out of yourself. In other words, with the power of a human being, you can't do this. You need God, the creator of heaven and earth, to enable you to do that. So you need to be going with God's power, not with your power. And that's what it means. Transcend yourself. Everything you've done, go out, go out. Get past yourself, even your highest self, and go to the land that I will reveal. And the deeper meaning, as we learned, I will show you who you are. You'll see your essence. And what's your essence? You're part of me. The Jew is a piece of God from above. And that's why we can do what no one else can do. We can literally redefine existence. And we've been doing it, and we're actually done. The work is done. We're just waiting for God to remove, like an artist that finishes a piece of art, and everybody's waiting for the statue to be revealed or for the painting to be revealed. And meanwhile, there's a thin sheet that's covering it, and then they're going to just lift that sheet up and everybody's going to see it. That's what we're holding right now. We're waiting for the sheet to be lifted. But the work has been completed already. All the work of Torah and mitzvot that transforms the very substance of the physical material world. Now this work begins in Lech Lecha, and now we'll understand why it was so important. The mitzvah itself is to go to a land, because the whole point objective over here is to take hold of a physical land and make that land Jewish land. What it means, Jewish land, means godly land. It belongs to a godly people, and that the land itself is different than the land of the rest of the world. Earth itself is changed. Earth is a different earth. Now, that work of taking possession of the land will later enable us to be able to change the earth and the soil and the physical phenomenon of all of the world, not just in the land of Israel. Eventually, this godly transformation will happen in the rest of the world. So I'll share with you something really strange. You know, other religions, Islam and Christianity to a certain degree, have a dream of world conquest for their faith, world dominion. The fanatical Islamists, for sure, that's their agenda. That's what they want. They want to create a caliphate in the entire world. The Christians, yeah, I'm not exactly that familiar with Christian ideology. Jews are not into proselytizing at all. And, you know, we're happy if we're in our own little corner and we do our own little thing and no one bothers us. We're not trying to convert anybody. We're not trying to, you know, tell everybody you have to listen or else you're going to hell. It's not a Jewish message, and it's never been a Jewish message. Jewish people are required to inspire the non-Jews to keep seven Noahide laws, but that's about it. there's no world dominion. Yet we're the only ones who are actually that are coming to a state of world dominion, but not in the way like everybody else interpreted it, but in a much deeper, a type of dominion that is so much more powerful than anything else. We will dominate everything. We will dominate every speck of the universe by doing that, by reprogramming the very physics, the very substance of reality. God, and because this is only God could have created the system in which we reprogram the world through the mitzvot. God instructed us. These are divine commandments. You ever see Jews wearing the straps and the boxes on the head when they're praying, the tallit with the fringes, with the strings at the end, or engaging in other weird stuff like shaking species of four fruits in all directions, or putting a scroll or a mezuzah on the door, or all kinds of other stuff. If you want to know what they're doing, they're reprogramming the program, literally reconfiguring the physical substance of creation. And the moment the download is concluded and God snaps his finger like this, then suddenly from within, that means from within the core of every physical being, will be the full recognition, oh my God, that God is the reality of everything and there's none but him. That's what we're talking about, world dominion. This is a much, much, much higher transformation. It's not a dominion for anybody to serve us. There's nothing selfish about it. It's actually liberating for all of existence. It's not dominating anything. It's allowing all of existence to experience its own truths that has been blocked from it by the time of creation. God, when God creates the world, he blocks the creation from knowing its own truth. And our job is to remove that block, or to remove the virus, so that everything can come into true connection with what it really is. Then there will be brotherly love, unity, joy, happiness, health, and an incredible enlightenment that will go deeper and higher and higher and higher, without the threat, without the fear, without anxiety, without stress, just utopian, true utopian existence based on universal recognition of one God that is going not to be taught by people, but is going to be experienced from within the flesh and bones of existence. As we say, the prophets have been talking about, the nigla kvod Hashem, the glory of God will be revealed. The ra'u kol basar kepi Hashem diber, that flesh will see that the mouth of God has spoken. That means it's going to be a physical, we are going to see it with our physical eyes. God will be seen everywhere. Wow, this gets me excited. So now you know why people are so uncomfortable with the Jews. This is it. But it isn't going to help anybody, because this is happening. We are unstoppable. And the great thing is we can hoist the flag of victory already. These silly little garbage that are making noise, psst, a little noise, just a little external distraction right before everything changes. So, and all this was predicted way back, that this was going to happen. In any case, now we understand why Judaism is fixated on us owning a piece of land, because it's only when we have that physical land of Israel and make it the holy land, and God can fully permeate it and dwell in the land of Israel, that consciousness and that transformation can then later, via the continued observance of mitzvot, when Jews leave the land of Israel and we're scattered all over the world and do mitzvot, but we have a base already that has been established, then that godly light can travel throughout the entire world, remake all of creation into a divine garden. Now, number one. Number two, we also understand why Abraham's important moment in Parshas Lech Lecha is the circumcision. The circumcision and owning land is the same idea. It's getting into earth. It's not enough that we have a spiritual awareness, a holy experience in our souls. We pray, we have spiritual experiences. But that means that our flesh, our physical body, knows only intrinsically of its own physical desires, wants, needs, pleasures. But, and when you're craving for something spiritual, it's a spiritual need, not a physical need. That has to change. The connection to God has to become a physical sensation. In order for that to happen, the first piece of human flesh that becomes messianic is the flesh where the covenant is made. Yeah. In the Bris Milah, by the place of the covenant, that's where God imprints himself. Now, he couldn't find a better place to imprint himself. And the answer is precisely that. In the place that there is the most rebelliousness against God and holiness, the place that we are so tuned into only feeling our own pleasure without and forgetting about the deeper reality of God, God says, I am the truth everywhere, even of your sexuality. And therefore, I have to enter everywhere, every part of your being. That's the depth of what we're talking about. And that's why the mark of God, the sign of God on the flesh of the body and the conquest of the land of Israel, together, Abraham was the initiator, Avraham Avinu. When he did it in his own life, it initiated and empowered it to happen later. Now, the real fusion of heaven and earth, the real fusion happened 400 years later. See, these things take a long time. This is a slow process. So 400 years later, when the Torah was given, that's when the real channels were opened up and the downloading really began. But we needed some preliminary work. And the preliminary work were by our forefathers, patriarchs and matriarchs. And it all begins with Abraham. And it begins with the commandment to go take possession of a land. And then it concludes the ultimate of it is when he makes the circumcision and he's connected. That's kind of a brief explanation of what we learned until now. Now we're going to be starting chapter Yud Beis, chapter 12. Based on all of this, the Rebbe says, now we'll understand why Lech Lecha, this commandment, is relevant to us today. And the idea is as follows, based on what we learned also earlier in the discourse, in the talk, that the Torah itself is revealed to us in stages. You know, first we have one level of Torah revealed to us, but the more godlier the world becomes, the world becomes more and more receptive and capable of receiving deeper and higher godly wisdom. To the degree that not only, like we learned in the beginning of the discourse, that every day, first of all, tri-yearly, we have powerful upgrades in the Torah, in the Torah that we receive. We peel away, let's say, the external layers, and we're privy to higher integration of higher levels of Torah. Three times a year, or the two times of the year that we read the Torah portion about the giving of the Torah, and the holiday of Shavuot, which is the season of the year when the Torah was given. These are three monumental Torah advances, occasions in the year when there's like a tremendous boost in the world receiving deeper, more Torah from God, because the world is in a constant state of elevation, higher and higher and higher. But also every day we say a blessing, God gives the Torah, because every day we're supposed to look at the Torah like it's new. We would not be commanded to look at it like it's new if it wasn't new. It really is new. Every day we receive the Torah opens up for us deeper and deeper and higher and deeper and so forth. But all of this is nothing in comparison to the Torah that can reveal itself with the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach will teach Torah like no other human being has ever taught, much higher than Moshe. He will bring us what's called Torah Chadasha, the new Torah. It's the same Torah, but the Torah unlocked in a way that no one has ever even begun to comprehend Torah on that level. And that's part of the Torah, that compared to that, it's as if we hadn't received any Torah yet. So based on that concept, We are standing before a time in which the faucets of wisdom are going to pour, are going to, or the channels, the pipes of that are going to pour wisdom into the world and divine knowledge into the world, are yet to be unplugged. And they're going to be, until now we've only been receiving literally a tiny trickle. And they're going to be unplugged, and there's going to be this powerful infusion of enlightenment and Torah light and godly consciousness in the world. That which is nothing can ever be compared to what we've ever had before is peanuts compared to what is about to come. And as we said earlier, in order to for us to achieve and receive the Torah and then integrate it into the world, just like the first time before the Torah was given, Abraham need to go conquer the land, and that was like a preparation. You know, you have to prepare the soil. The earth had to be prepared by belonging to Abraham, by belonging to a Jewish person. That itself elevated the land and elevated the totality of the world so it can become more receptive, and it should be able to start receiving these higher divine downloads, right? So similar to that, we have to continuously go to the land and take the land. Now, it doesn't mean just because, you know, 2,000 years ago we were driven out of the land. Because that we can say that in 1948, Jews came back. Jews came back before, way before 1948. But let's say that there has been a much greater establishment in the land of Israel and so on and so forth. So it's physically under our, in Jewish hands. But more than that, much more than that, the land of Israel that we have today, as just like we said earlier, the Torah that we have today is only a little tiny bit of the Torah. The land of Israel that we have today is only a small portion of the land. The full land of Israel, God promised Abraham, is the land of 10 nations. And now, not now, I'm not even talking about now. I'm talking about even when the days of King Solomon and King David, when Jews really had huge parts of the land, it was only the land of seven nations. We never took possession of the full land of the 10 nations. As I mentioned last week, it's 300,000 square miles, what God promised Abraham, from the Euphrates River to the Nile River. Now, and in the days of Solomon, it was much smaller. Now it's even way, way small. Now it's about 7,500 square miles. It's crazy. From 300,000. So Israel is going to be way, way bigger. So that's the idea. We need to conquer. We need to take more land. Now, the Rebbe pointed out something important. It doesn't mean that we have to figure out ways of conquering more land. It's not our job. Not like, you know, we're telling the Israeli army, lech lecha, get ready to war. Now we are, we are at war. That's because we were attacked. But we're not telling the Israeli army, go out in an offensive war and take land from around. No, that's not it. But it means that psychologically, emotionally, we have to be ready for the expansion of the land of Israel. We have to be ready, each and every one of us, that we're going to have more land. We're going to take more land. Israel is going to be much, much larger. And whatever in Israel we have now, we shouldn't even think even a half a thought that, God forbid, ever relinquish even a tiny bit of that land. And our attachment to it, and our building of that land, and our construction of that land, and our preciousness of that land, our attachment to the land, all of that has to become stronger and stronger and stronger, because we realize that holding on to the land means elevating earth and making it Jewish land is literally what's making the world ready to receive the much higher Torah that is going to come to the world, just like Abraham was told to go take part of the land, circumcise himself. These were the two things that were necessary for later for the Jews to be able to go to Sinai and receive the Torah. We need to get excited about Lech Lecha. And even though we have a lot of the land of Israel, it's nothing compared to what is coming to us. Actually, how will it come to us in the end? Those huge, huge, huge parts of Israel, all the way up to Iraq, it will be given to us because the nations will hand it over on their own. The Rebbe says it will happen without war. Hard to imagine in today's climate how that will happen. Well, a lot of things are hard to imagine. And yet, it's reality. So these are prophecies. This is going to happen. We were going to receive all that land. How, what, where, and when? But we know it will be given to us. Without, it will be handed over. Does that mean Mashiach is first revealed? The whole world recognizes this. This higher consciousness kicks in. I'm not exactly sure the order of it, but this is all going to happen. So therefore, yeah, so as long, let me put it this way, the Rebbe says, as long as we haven't yet unplugged the higher Torah, which let's say is the amount of Torah that we have now, let's say is a little percent of a percent. We haven't even had 1% of Torah yet. And so as long as we're still before the revelation of the new Torah, we're literally in Abraham's shoes. The commandment of go take possession of the land, go to the land that I will show you, is in full force. It's just as compelling and it's just as necessary as it was to Abraham. Even after the new Torah will be unplugged, being that even in there will be higher and higher and higher and higher, there will always be a connection to the expansion of the land, whatever that means. There will always be a lech lecha. Let's, however, take this to a deeper level. Because the service of, actually, according to this, the lech lecha means go take possession of the land of Israel. But what can most of us do for that? How can we do that? But a little bit deeper than that, we'll understand. See, the expansion of the land of Israel and the expansion of the Torah go hand in hand. And just like in the land of Israel, the main expansion that is necessary is that we go from a land of 7 nations to a land of 10 nations in Messianic time, in the days of Mashiach. In the same way, in the giving of the Torah, there will be an expanse that is compared to the Torah of 7 versus the Torah of 10. So what does that mean? So mystically, it is explained that the 7 number or the 10 number is obviously something that we can connect very easily to the concept of the 10 attributes or the 7 emotional attributes. We know that divine attributes are divided into categories. Sometimes the divine attributes are listed as 10 sefirot. Sometimes the divine attributes are listed as 7 attributes. So it depends what we're talking about. If we're looking just at the emotional attributes, they're 7. But if we're looking at the full complete configuration, which includes also the intelligence of the divine, then it's 10. So it's 7 emotions, 3 intellectual powers. The reason why physically in the land of Israel, when we went in with Joshua, the Jewish people only received the land of 7 nations, is because spiritually, we were not ready to engage in the service or in the connection to the divine levels of the divine intelligence. We were beginning our connection to God. We have to start with the lower set of attributes. The emotions are much lower than the divine intelligence. So by the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, in the land of the 7 nations, okay, they were also simultaneously engaging in that land spiritually with their 7 emotions of their soul. They served God with their emotions. And part of the conquest was, the land of Israel was belonging to the Gentile nations which were living in depravity. So the work that the Jewish people had was that they needed internally to fix their own emotions. So by entering into the land of Israel and conquering it externally meant also conquering one's own territory in their own heart. The human psyche has 7 emotions which are blurred, which are mixed. They could be holy, they could be refined, they could be rectified, or they could be a mess. We can have love and we can use our love to love in a beautiful manner, in a holy manner, in a rectified manner. We can take all of our love and love our spouse in a true, holy, godly way and have a beautiful, deep marriage with content and meaning, selfless love, and so on and so forth. Love can also become the most corrupted, damaging, destructive element. If love, you know, if a person lets the love just be misguided into all kinds of other stuff. So in the name of love, or the name of, or because of the feelings of love, misguided love. People have wrecked their lives, their marriages, their everything. Right? So there's holy love, there's unholy love. So conquering the land means conquering your love. Your love should be holy in your material life with your spouse, with your siblings, with your community. And the love, loving God, loving your fellow human being in a constructive, holy way, helping people as much as you can, being driven with kindness. It's all connected to the emotion of love. And then there is the emotion of discipline. And that too, the power to discipline is an intense power. That power of might and power can also be used in a corrupted way. It can be used to hurt people, to abuse people, to be angry, to be whatever. So there as well, they needed to work on themselves internally. So going into the land meant implementing refining their emotions, and as a result of that, living in the Holy Land of Israel. Now, in order to do that, they had to unlock the power of the Torah. The Torah was given to them. But the Torah that was given to them was mainly the Torah of the divine emotions, the lower level of the Torah. The Torah comes from God. God has emotions and he has intelligence. Even though the Torah primarily is emanating from divine intelligence, it's the wisdom of God. Yet, it's the wisdom of God that relates to the lower seven emotions. So it is intelligence, but it's the intelligence of the emotions, not the intelligence of the intelligence. Two types of intelligence. There's intelligence that are more a guide to practical living, and then there is a more transcendental, higher intelligence. While when we went into Israel, from when we went with Joshua, and continuing on through the entire time the Jewish people lived in the land of Israel, that was for first about 700-800 years until they were exiled, and then coming back for another 400 years. So about 1,200-year period, when we lived in the land of Israel, we had the temples, we were connected to God on a very high level, it was only plugging in on the level of the emotions. And the Torah that we understood was the lower aspect of the Torah, like discussed earlier, that the real deeper Torah has not yet been revealed. Now, and that's why physically we only received the land of the seven nations. And this is the way it's been for the last 4,000 years. Or 3,500 years since the Torah was given. But after this long and difficult exile and all the hard labor that we've done with the Jewish people, and the world has become so refined and so elevated to it in an inner level, not on an external level. You still see, when you're looking very, very superficially, see a lot of dirt and a lot of garbage. But on a deeper level, mankind and humanity has been elevated. So the world is ready now to get into a much deeper connection to God and to bond through the Jewish people and through the Torah, not just to the divine emotions, but to connect to the divine intelligence. What level of the divine intelligence? God's abstract intelligence. Which would mean that after Mashiach comes, what it means is that we will be able to plug our minds into God's mind just for the pure pleasure and for the pure experience of unification with the infinite mind of God. Probing and seeing the truths, that the wisdom that God has, and unifying with his wisdom. I can't begin to tell you what that means. I don't even know what that means. But the experience, the richness of it, the delight of that, of just pure, it's not for any purpose. It's not for self-refinement. It's not for... because it's beyond those levels. It's just the knowledge of God for the sake of the pure knowledge. God will engage in each and every one of us intellectually and bring us in and teach us on the highest levels to there is emergence of our mind and his mind. This is pure bliss and ecstasy of pure unification. And who will lead us in that? Mashiach. We will study those levels of Torah. But everything has to be connected to the world. So for that, we will need an expansion in the land of Israel. Not just the land of the seven nations, we will need another three nations, which only by the way God created the world, those three nations are the three compartments of the mind. When they are attached to the land of Israel, that creates the physical vessel for the spiritual illumination of divine intelligence to be enter into the human consciousness. First into the mind of Mashiach himself, from Mashiach to all the Jewish people, from the Jewish people, it will continue outwards towards the world. And the world will move into times of true, 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 incredible, infinite, boundless, never-ending enlightenment. This will happen through the expansion of the land of Israel. So here is where we can understand now how the physical land of Israel, having an attachment added onto it, is related to the Torah exploding after Mashiach comes. It's almost like till now, the land has been without a head. It doesn't have a brain. It's just like a torso and downward. It's a being without a head. We, the Jewish people, have been studying Torah also without a head, just from like our emotions and downward. We're connecting to God, but not to God's head. So imagine all this, a human being. How deficient is a human experience without a brain, without an intelligence? To that degree, we understand how magnificent and what kind of exponential growth is about to occur. Where we're heading to. They talk about AI, artificial intelligence. We are moving. Wow. Maybe these are the vessels. These are just the containers that are going to help facilitate or process all that knowledge as it comes pouring down. It's just going to be crazy. It's going to be incredible. And therefore the Rebbe says that we can understand how incomplete the land of Israel is and how incomplete our service to God is right now. Because when you're serving only, even if you're on the highest levels of emotional development, but if you haven't yet unlocked the brain, you haven't attached yourself in your mind to God, he says, we say it in the Shema, it says you should love God with all your heart. All our heart, that is all of our emotions. That we're capable today already. If we work hard, we can connect with all our heart. But it says love God, which means attach yourself to him with all your soul. All your soul means all your powers of your soul, which means including your three intellectual faculties. That is not really connecting today's days, because God hasn't plugged us into that level of the divine. And therefore, our own powers of pure intelligence of our soul have also not yet been activated. And even though we study so much and we learn so much and we are activating our mind, remember what we said earlier, it's the mind that is leaning into the emotions. It's the intelligence, a much lower intelligence. It's the tail end of the intelligence that you need a little intelligence to influence the emotions. But the real pure intelligence, knowledge for the sake of knowledge, mind-blowing knowledge, it hasn't been activated yet. Not in ourselves. Not in the land, because we don't have the land of 10 nations, it's not plugged into God's intelligence. And therefore, we can love God with all our heart, but we can't love him yet in the real sense with all of our soul, which includes all the faculties. And definitely, we're not capable of really going into the third stage, which is even beyond that, b'chol ma'odecha, to love God with all your might. All your might means literally infinitely. For that experience, it's even higher than once we have the full experience of the mind, then we can journey to levels of pleasure and delight that are beyond the mind, even beyond the mind. Which means from the word b'choma otcha means very much with limitless. So everything we've ever had in Judaism, everything we've ever had in our spirituality is a crumb. So now we can understand why when we read Lech Lecha, we're told, do whatever it takes to start the journey. Start the journey. Go there. Start. How do you start the journey? In addition to going to the land of Israel, taking possession of the land, we're soon going to see it's through trying to open up in our own selves powers of our soul that till now have been locked. Let's make an attempt. If we're told that that the deeper soul, the deeper capacity of wisdom has been locked and inaccessible to us, as long as we become aware of it, we might start searching. If you have such a treasure buried inside of you, maybe we should search. We're going to get to that in a moment. So, but again, the key to it all is God's commandment to Abraham, to Avram Avinu, go from your land to the land that, go from your land to the land that I will show you. And God gives Abraham the land of Israel, and he gives him all the 10 lands, although he didn't literally take possession yet, but God gifted him with everything, which that is all a preparation and an empowerment to be able to receive the Torah. Now let's understand, it's important to note that in essence, everything we've gotten already, there's not a question of us having received, because in essence, in terms of us having downloaded to us, everything has been downloaded. That means that the in terms of the physical land of Israel, God gave Abraham all 10 countries, all 10 lands. It's just that he gifted him all as one. It's just that in the literal sense, we didn't take it yet. I'll be done in like 20 minutes, yeah. In the literal sense, we haven't taken it yet. Same is also with Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. God gave us the entire Torah. The Torah will not be given in increments. Torah is given in one shot, but we haven't had the capacity to click on the files and to open them up. That's the idea. So Lech Lecha is God's telling Abraham, start probing, start going on that journey. Preparation for the giving of the Torah, where we know that this concept that there is the higher Torah of the future and the lower Torah of the now is sometimes referred to in Hasidic teaching as the revelation of the 50th gate of wisdom. Our 50 gates of wisdom, 49, however, was revealed to Moses, to Moshe, the one who gave us the Torah. The 50th is elusive. Now, the 50th is much bigger than all the 49. 50th is especially the internal element of the 50th. That's the pure, infinite, boundless, unfiltered or unadulterated wisdom of Hashem himself. That was also given to us. But again, it was not revealed. It's not, for all practical purposes, it's as if we don't have it. It will be revealed in the new Torah when Mashiach comes. Now hear this amazing thing. When this new Torah that Mashiach will come, as we said earlier, is connected to these three countries, as we said before, the brains will finally be connected. Now these three countries, when God tells Abraham, Avram Avinu, are referred to in the parsha of Lech Lecha. Hashem says, I'm giving you the land, whichever those, the land of the seven nations, which I'm not going to repeat now, but the extra three are called the Keni, the Knezi, and the Kadmoni. These are the three extra lands that are going to be added to the land of Israel. Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni. Now these three words, the Rebbe says, all begin with the letter Kuf. Now the letter Kuf is a letter which goes down very, very low. You know, there are different letters in the Torah, different types of letters. There are letters that most letters sit on the line, like they're on a line. Some letters go up higher, like a lamed. It has a protrusion that goes up. And then there are some letters who go down below the line, like a long nun. One of the letters that go down lower is the letter kuf. It goes down low. So what is the secret over here? although these three lands are referring to God's essential intelligence, that's why they're the brains to receive the higher intelligence, the infinite intelligence of God, that's going to be revealed only in the new Torah when Mashiach comes. It's going to be downloaded into our souls. But the Rebbe says the fact that it's called by the letters of the name, I'm sorry, the words that refer to them, Arkeini Knezi, with a long nun, means that this is going to be downloaded all the way down, and it's going to go so much down till it's going to actually impact earth. It's not going to remain lofty, abstract, removed. It's going to be channeled down to the point when the knowledge is going to become the knowledge of earth. That's the hope, not just the knowledge of souls of a few wise men in Greece, a few philosophers. That's not the point. The point is that it's going to become not just, we're talking about abstract intelligence, pure unification with God. It's going to channel down into our emotions. It's going to become emotional intelligence. It's going to become physical intelligence. Our gut will know it, not just our mind will know it. The physical earth will know it. It will become so much part. That's the long kuf. That's why there's a prophecy that says, Umalaha oretz deya es Hashem, that earth is going to be filled with knowledge of God. Earth itself will be filled. And hear the end of that verse. When Maimonides speaks about Mashiach's times, he says, it says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, k'mayim liyam mechasim, like the waters cover the sea. So here the Rebbe's incredible insight, which I've never seen before. He says, yam, which means sea, is made up of a yud and a mem. Together, yud is, the numeric value of yud is 10 and mem is 40. So yam refers to the 50 gates of wisdom. It's 50 altogether. It refers to the 50 gates of wisdom, which means the entire Torah, if you can say about the Torah as the entire. The ultimate wisdom, the endless, boundless, essential wisdom of a God. That's the ocean. Now it says, like waters cover the ocean, cover the sea. What's mayim? So it's an interesting take that I've never seen before. He says mayim is stated water, but it doesn't say water. It says waters in the plural. It's referring to the pluralistic world. When we look at a world, what do we see? We don't see the unity, the oneness, the one being that is the reality of everything. We see stuff. We see things. We see substances, pieces, things. And that's why the world becomes a world of the multitudes of many. It becomes the public domain. It becomes a place where God is ignored, the oneness is not felt, and everybody is doing their own thing. When everybody's doing their own thing, there is war and hatred and pain and fighting and all kinds of stuff, because things are not tuned into their soul, to the origins, to the singular oneness of everything. So mayim is referring to the many aspects of the world. The world and the multiplicity of existence. Now what he says is like this: the earth is going to be covered with wisdom of God to the point that it's going to be sensed and it's going to be felt that everything that makes up the multiplicity of the world is mechasim, is just a tiny little cover. It's a little something that is hiding and containing within itself yam, the infinite boundless wisdom of God. That means that no matter which element, the way I understand it, it means that no matter which element in this physical world we're going to encounter in the future days, you're going to rub on it and scratch it. What are you going to see? It means you're going to, you know, open it. You're going to go past the cover, and we're going to have the ability to go past the cover. We're going to look inside. So just like, for example, I'll give an example. Just like when we thought you took a grain of sand, it's tiny, nothing. Then you put it under a microscope, and you see that there's an entire universe inside. Inside a little cell, there's an entire cell, like universes there. It's incredible what's there, because we looked inside. when Mashiach will come, we'll have the eyes, and we'll see that in every speck of existence behind it is the ocean of the infinite of divine wisdom. And that everything we see is purely a physical cover that's containing that has that inside of it. And that's the way we're going to experience everything in this world. Everything in this world will invite us to probe in and dive into it, into its endless divine light that's contained in it, and wisdom. There isn't going to be a boring moment. There isn't going to be a moment that we're not stunned. There isn't going to be a possibility of like not being in. Everything, everywhere and everything is a cover for the Yam, for the 50th gate, for the infinite wisdom of God. All that it is. And we will see that in everything, in every aspect of existence. Wow. That's where we're heading to. So what is this supposed to, what is the direction? So what are we supposed to do about that? That's what's going to happen. What's the direction in this? What is God saying to each and every one of us based on all of this? So here he goes in chapter 14. This is such an amazing conclusion for this amazing talk. He says, every single person is commanded by God to journey. Where should you journey? Set out on a journey. Where? Study Torah. But don't study Torah a little bit. Study a lot. The Lech Lecha that we're told to go is to study Torah. And to study Torah, just like by Abraham, he told him to go away from the land that he's in and go to a new land that I will show you. God is beckoning each and every one of us. Come, I will show you a new land. What does that mean, a new land? A new reality that you don't know. How will you know it? Study Torah. You'll study. And you'll say, but I studied already. I learned already. I know it already. God is saying, leave that land. It's true. You learned it already. You know it already. But there is a new land. Behind the land that you think you studied, behind the ideas of Torah that you think you've kind of mastered already, and you know it, behind it lays an ocean of infinite light, of infinite wisdom. God says, go deeper, lech lecha, go travel. Even if you learned a lot of Torah, you can always add to it. Get to the novelty of it, because the Torah is without an end. As the verse says, there's a verse in Job where it says, it's longer than the earth and it's broader than the sea. More than that, the Rebbe says, every part of Torah is the key to give birth to new ideas. Meaning, if you learn one thing and you study it, you grab it, that can open up your mind to a whole new innovation, and this can go on and on and on and on. In the journey itself, what God is beckoning us to do, what Hashem is commanding us to do, each and every one of us, is not to take small increments of learning a little more and kind of like hovering where we always were and just thinking, I'm going to expand my mind a little bit. He says, no. It's, we're being called to study and to what does God say to Abraham? Lech lecha, I will take you. Go to the land, I'm sorry, travel to the land. And in that land, I will show you, I will reveal to you who you are. I'll open you up inside out. You'll get to see your core. Remember we explained that earlier? God is saying, you have such a precious soul. You have a soul that has such wisdom, potential for such incredible, incredible divine knowledge. You haven't even begun to scratch the surface of your own soul. And therefore, God is saying, don't stay on the outside. Don't stay on the outer edges of your brain, of your mind. Break open your brain. Break open your mind. Go so deep into your soul, into your mind, till you discover new powers that you never knew existed in you. You never knew you had such a creative mind.
You never even realized they had such depth in your soul. Try it. Study. Of course, if we're lazy and we don't want to use our heads and we don't want to think deeply, then we hover, then we stay where we are. And we learn another share, we another done. Don't stay where you are. Break open. And the more you'll break open, the greater you'll see, you'll be able to, doors will open up on levels that are like, wow, you can achieve. There's no limit. The soul is limitless. Go deeper and higher and higher. And the Torah is infinite. So probe your concealed powers. The Rebbe says, which concealed powers? Not just the 7 emotional powers of your soul, unlock them to the fullest. That it's a great thing to unlock our spiritual emotions. But even deeper than that, go for the 3 intellectual powers of your soul and unlock them. And unlock them from the deepest place of your soul. That's the Lech Lecha. As we said earlier, go away completely from where you are. Go to a whole new headspace. Go to a whole new dimension. He says, most people don't do that. Most people regularly kind of only engage with themselves on the natural powers of their soul that are readily available. But that's who's supposed to be impressed with that? The fact that you're using the faculties that you have that come easy, that's not a thing. You know, these are powers you have already, he says. You know about them. And of course you have to use them. Even that, you know, how many of our resources that we have doesn't take much. How much do we use our resources productively? Not that much. We're told over here, and that's even the powers that we have easily, readily accessible to us. The level of our mind and thinking that we can always use. How many hours do we study Torah, really? But even if we are to use up all that energy that we have, all our mental focus that we have, and use it in the right way, we're not fulfilling what God wants of us. Because God wants us something new. That's what Lech Lecha is, something completely new. God wants us to reveal the powers of our soul that are inherently hidden. And even in that, he says, there are 2 levels. The powers of our soul that are hidden, but they are close to the surface. They're easy to pull them out. Not easy, but with considerable work, we can pull them out. We can unlock them. And that's pretty cool if you can do that. But much, much more important. But what's most important is, as he says, the real objective has to be to unlock the powers of our soul, the powers of our mind, which are so hidden that they're not anywhere close to the surface. Basically, what he's calling for is very, very deep drilling. Deep drilling. Drill into your soul and go so far in that you don't even believe how deep you're going. Pull it out from there. Pull out your essence from there. Boy, oh boy, you're going to find that you're so much more than you think you are. You have a brilliant mind. You're an Albert Einstein, maybe. You have no idea what you have. You didn't try. Pull, go deep. Now, just like this has to be regarding our own Torah, the Rebbe says, our own study, that we shouldn't suffice with what I know already. I understand already. But to study things deeply and go far in, same is also regarding our God's expectation of us to spread Torah and to teach Torah to other people. That we should never suffice with the amount of people that we're teaching, the amount of reach that we're reaching. You're reaching. You have 10 people at your class, you have to shoot for 20. You have 20, you have to shoot for 40. You have 40, you have to shoot for 80. Well, okay, you have a class, but you're also reaching people on YouTube. You have 100 listeners, you need to shoot for 300. You have 300, you need 600. You have 6. And it's not because of ego. It's because each and every one of us must share wisdom with the world. These teachings are the teachings of God. This must go out. It's an obligation. And even if you have 5 million, there are still people you can affect. And you have to go bigger and broader and stronger. And you have to reach, the Rebbe's words, you have to reach every type of Jewish person in the world.
all the different groups, all the different sectors. And he even adds, he says, and continuously there's always more students because there's more children that are growing up and they're becoming past the bar and bas mitzvah age. When they are ready to really learn Torah, you have to influence these people, get them as well. But that's all in quantity. And we should never, ever suffice. The lech lecha, the charge to go conquer the minds of the people, to teach the people, to inspire the people. That, there's no limit to that. But in addition to that, when you're looking at your students themselves, it's not enough just to transmit information to them. You have to turn them into thinkers. They have to learn how to think on their own. Not only to think on their own, they should become novel, creative thinkers. They shouldn't just repeat what you're teaching, that the students should become creative and be able to create Torah thought on their own. And within those creative thoughts, the Rebbe said that the real lech lecha is not just that they should create from their revealed powers, but that they should tap their hidden latent powers, the real deepest powers of their soul, and bring that out. All that is your responsibility as a teacher. He's got the work cut out for us. In our own learning, and our teaching others. To teach, first of all, as far and as wide, and never relax, because there's always another person to teach. And when you're teaching, have them stand on their own feet, have them be creative on their own, have them, but not only, but that their ideas that they're creating should stun you. Like, you wouldn't believe that this person has such depth of knowledge and such an ability to conceive. That's how far we need to go. Now, the test, if we're doing our job according to God's expectations, the Rebbe says, is not, you can't mark your own score. You can't decide your own score. He says, because it's very possible because of being busy with another mitzvah, or perhaps because you self-love, you'll give yourself a pass. You'll say you're doing pretty well. You got to check in with others. If others are thinking you're utilizing all your powers that you can. Get others, get yourself people, dear friends, who will always expect more of you and push you and never tell you you've done what you've reached. Get a second opinion. Go look out. And then you'll realize you probably can just do a little more. And then you'll realize you can probably just do a little more. And all of this, he says, adds far more emphasis in our generation, based on what we said earlier, that this generation particularly is the last generation of exile, the first generation of the redemption. So now is even more emphasized the importance of Lech Lecha. Since we're so close to the explosion of all this knowledge and godliness in the world, over here there's a greater emphasis that we have to like activate the 10 lands. We have to activate our own three intellectual powers. In other words, because at any moment, physically, we're going to have an expansion in the land of Israel, how can we trigger that? Is within ourselves. We should open ourselves up to our level of the higher intelligence that we have. How do we do that? Simply by learning Torah, spending more time learning Torah. Not only according to the level of intelligence that relates to the emotions, but to unlock the hidden intelligence, as we said earlier. And that happens more through the study of the esoteric part of the Torah, Chassidus and the like, versus the revealed part of the Torah, which is more related to the emotions. And including learning, particularly learning the subject of the redemption. We do in this YouTube all the time. We talk about the subject of redemption. The concluding blessing the Rebbe gives, like he always does in the end of a talk in chapter 15, he says, let it be the will that through the addition in our service of Lech Lecha, where we challenge ourselves to go farther and farther and farther and farther, deeper into ourselves to unlock the highest powers of our soul, let it be fulfilled in the literal sense, the simple meaning of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, that all the Jewish people from across the world will be gathered from the four corners of the earth. We go to the land that God will show us in the literal sense, and we go not only to a certain spaces where because other places other people don't let us go there, Jews are afraid certain places to go in the land of Israel because of others that don't belong there, that live there. We should be able to go la'arka la'rachba. We have to go across the land to the length and to the width, including we should be able to already get access to those three extra countries, which we will receive peacefully from the nations, as we said earlier. And together with that, with the powers of our 10 powers of our soul, in other words, in addition to the physical land, we should all be completed, filled with spiritually as well, our 7 emotions, our 7 intellectual powers. And the main, and this is also important, the revelation of the new Torah that Mashiach will reveal. And then from us, it should spread into the entire world, like we spoke earlier, like the water covers the sea. And it will begin to influence the Gentiles as well, the Gentiles, the nations of the world, that they too will not be busy with anything else but to know God. And the king, and the Rebbe brings the verse, to God will be the ultimate kingship and sovereignty. And not only will it influence the Gentiles, but it will go further. It will begin to influence the lower parts of the world, the inanimate, the vegetation, the animal. In each and every part of these worlds, the divine power that's in it will unlock, will reveal itself. To the point that stone will cry out from the wall. It will cry its divinity, as the verse says. And a fig, if you want to, if God forbid, if someone wants to pluck the fig on Shabbos, when you're now let it pluck a fig, the fig will cry out, how can you do that? It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that, which means the creation themselves will be super tuned in to their divine truth, to their purpose in this world, and the animal as well, and how much more so the human race, that every being will know that you have made it, and every formation will know that you have formed it, and every soul and every being that has a soul in its nostrils will cry out that God is the king. Because the entire world becomes a home for Hashem. And also in the upper worlds, I'm sorry, in the 3 lower worlds, which is Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya, which is the levels of creation, there will be the revelation, the same level of the divine revelation of the world of emanation, which is the world of Atzilus, which is close to the essence of God. And from Lech Lecha, we come immediately to the next Torah portion, which is the Parsha of Vayera, which means that God has revealed himself to him, which in this case means the divine revelation that is in the third, that will be in the complete redemption, when our eyes will behold our teacher, which is referring both to Mashiach and to God, and we will achieve and have that revelation while we are in bodies, when we are perfectly healthy and perfectly fine, as we don't have to go through any more of this suffering and more. And this is also important, that all this should happen instantly right now. Thank you. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow, tune in for episode 30, another mind-blowing episode.